Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
The border, people were jacked up at this hearings. Where do you guys go now that you're back in D.C.?
So first, I'm going to give credit to the Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan for getting people down to the border. They got to see it. I lead multiple delegations there. And where the next steps are this. In Judiciary, we're going to have to keep holding hearings and holding this administration to the fire. Number one, because they are the ones charged with enforcing the law, and they've chosen not to. So we need to bring in Mayorkas. So we will continue on, hopefully, with the effort to impeach Mayorkas. Okay, so that's one side of things. The other side of things is you're going to have this debt ceiling, and you're going to have this appropriations package that's going to come up late in the summer or early fall. We have got to actually put in strict penalties for failure to enforce the border and take it from programs that this administration wants to fund. So you basically start attacking in that way. The third way is you start identifying people who are failing to enforce the law and use the Holman rule that allows us to actually go in and reform them as an agency and or take down salaries of individuals or completely eliminate their positions. So there's three methods of attack off the top there, Steve. But the most important thing is we need to continue to elevate the conversation so that Americans will contact their legislators, because you got Democrats who continue to say the border's not a problem, and which is why not a single Democrat came to the border for that mandatory official Judiciary Committee hearing.
So what do you do when they won't come for a mandatory hearing? Because they say the border's fine, and you know there's an invasion underway. The bid and the ask here is so wide. We know there's an invasion. We know that the Biden regime has purposely broken the law. And they say, no, there's not a problem. In fact, we won't even show up to the hearings. I mean, how do you deal with a group like that?
Well, you continue to embarrass them by bringing the facts out. Imagine if they would have sat up there on the stand in the dais and told those three witnesses and that entire audience, a great audience, big audience. We turned people away. There were so many people there. If they would have told that audience, no, you guys don't have a problem down in Yuma. It's not real. Imagine that. So that's why you have to keep embarrassing them and put them on the spot. And so this week, for instance, in Oversight, we're doing a hearing on the fentanyl problem, the fentanyl crisis, where the Democrats keep saying, oh, we're interdicting 90% of the fentanyl and it's coming at the ports of entry and it's only American citizens that are being arrested. Well, that's simply not true. All of those things are lies. And so we're going to bring data. We've got good witnesses who are going to come in and we're going to embarrass them again. And that's what it takes. You go one, 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 always going after it to elevate the dialogue and force them to tell the lies that they tell. Change, and so we have to change the narrative, Steve, and that's what we're trying to do.
What are you on appropriations? Are there more moderate members with you on that cuts have to be made to like DHS? And I mean dramatic cuts to get their attention. And you've got to go through DHS and cut out all the NGO money, all the woke money that's in there that's supporting the invasion of the southern border. Does the, and I'm not talking about McCarthy and these guys, I'm saying are the more moderate wing of the Republican Party, do they have the stones to really make these cuts and appropriations that are needed to be made?
We'll see. I don't know, Steve. By the way, Steve, I like to think I'm middle of the road, okay? I think most of America thinks like I do. That may be dangerous, I don't know. But the reality is, I'm not sure where a lot of our friends are, but they have got to acknowledge that the border is open and dangerous. There has been hearing after hearing since, for as long as I can remember, where even under Biden, these officials have said the border is controlled by the cartels. So our own members have got to have the courage to stand up to people and say, the border is controlled by cartels. Fentanyl is coming in. It's killing over 100,000 people a year. These are the last 2 years. If this keeps up, we will actually bring in during the Biden administration somewhere around 12 to 15 million illegal aliens from 160 plus nations. You have schools. Look, we heard this from the nurses in Yuma. They all speak Spanish. Most of them speak Spanish. I mean, but that isn't what they're getting. They're getting people from Uzbekistan and Georgia and Iran and China and all these countries of the world, and they come in and we don't even they don't that hospital doesn't even have translators except for Spanish. So the question is, how do you get the Democrats to understand? At some point, I don't care about the moderates or Democrats in Congress, because if the American people understand, they will change out their representation, because they will have to change out the representation in order to preserve this country.
How did you derive the 12 to 15 million illegal alien number?
In the first 2 years of the Biden administration, you've had well over 6 million people come in. And that includes known gotaways to a certain extent. But you also have unknown gotaways. And if you have known gotaways of 1.2, then you have unknown gotaways of 1.2 at least. And the point is, if you have 6 or 7 million in that first 2 years, it's not slowing down, contrary to what the Biden administration says. And when Title 42 goes away in May, it's going to get even more. The number is going to increase even more. So I would figure that if we don't stop it, you're going to have a total of 12 to 15 million people over the entire four-year Biden regime.
Do you believe that your colleagues in the Republican Party, even people that are not what I call moderates, do you believe that they understand that number and that the country can't do this? You're not going to have a country if you allow 15 million illegal aliens to remain here that were basically brought here by the Biden regime. Do they know that you don't have a country if you can't enforce your own sovereignty on your own border?
I think the vast majority of Republicans in Congress understand the depths of the problem, or at least the number. I don't think that I don't think all my colleagues think that way. I also don't think that all of them think the way I do, in that it's a true existential crisis. And Steve, I'll just tell you, it isn't, because I keep using the 11 to 12 million total illegal aliens in the country. It's not that. It's going to be pushing 40 million illegal in the country. You have 800 million people from around the world who want to come to the U.S. or EU. Steve, the existential crisis we're in is real. Think of it this way. Here's the way I think of it. Dissolution of a nation, disintegration of a nation happens when you cannot control your sovereignty, which means your border integrity, and you cannot control your currency. We're in bad shape for both of those. And I keep trying to emphasize that to my colleagues so they can get it. I think most American people get it. I really do. They see this and they almost can't believe what's happening. And they can't believe that their representation doesn't get it. But I know that even some Democrats who are down by the border, like Henry Cuellar, they get it. So if Henry can get it, if you can get people to the border, I'm hoping to change minds.
Congressman Biggs, what is your we're getting the signal you got to bounce. What is your social media?
At Rep. Andy Biggs AZ. On Twitter, Instagram is at Rep. Andy Biggs. You can follow me on.
All righty, there you go. Joe, here, blockbuster report, Biden's open borders for child migrants. Horror. It's horror. See, remember, we told you about this. Remember how often we said there were over 40 million? Now, finally, we've got some congressmen admitting to this, that what we've known all along. But the New York Times publishes a blockbuster report of this Saturday that details the massive nationwide child labor horrors taking place because of the Biden opening the border to unaccompanied children in 2021 after President Trump fought hard to shut down child trafficking. The children are working to pay off their debts to cartel traffickers. and their sponsors here, as well as to send remittances to their families back home. The New York Times found children working in factories and plants of major American companies and their suppliers across the country. Migrant child labor benefits both under-the-table operations, the global corporations. The Times found in Los Angeles children stitch Made in American tags into a J. Crew shirts. They bake dinner rolls sold at Walmart and Target. They process milk used in Ben and Jerry's ice cream and help debone chicken sold at Whole Foods. As recently as the fall, middle schoolers made Fruit of the Loom socks in Alabama and in Michigan. Children make auto parts for Ford and General Motors. There you go, Joe.
Well, to go along with that, there's an article that just came up from the United Kingdom, Metro newspaper in London. Every moment you were terrified, life as a victim of child trafficking. Story of a young girl that was sold back from her country, and she's a lady now in her 30s, but when she was 15, she was taken from her family and sent across from Spain to England and put into the sex trade business. And it's quite a harrowing, horrible, ugly story, but she talks about there were many, many other young women that were forced. Some of them were, if they weren't pretty enough, were just maybe put into labor. This is happening in England. It's happening in every other major big city in the free world. And stories like this, there are so, so many of them. They're finding them now. We've reported several cases where many of the children have been rescued from traffickers. You don't very often get a story like that, but you look at this and realize this is common. There's probably more slavery going on today than there was several hundred years ago when people thought we really had slavery in the world.
All righty, here's another one. House Oversight Chair escalates investigation into Biden crime family accusers. See, we're not the only ones calling them the Biden crime family anymore.
Biden crime family, yeah.
Right. This is by the Gateway Pundit now. Is referring to them as the Biden crime family, which we've been referring to them for a long time. House Oversight Chairman James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, on Monday, that's today, in his investigation, escalated his investigation into the Biden crime family, and that's what they're talking about, the Biden crime family. There you go. I am calling on U.S. Treasury to testify at a hearing on March 10th, Comer said, on Monday. The American people deserve transparency. Treasury's failure to produce requested information related to the Biden crime family's influence, peddling, and schemes is unacceptable, Representative Comer said. Hunter Biden and his uncle James have at least 150 suspicious activity reports on their accounts. Here it says that he goes on, according to Representative Comer, the Bush administration created banking suspicious activity reports, and it was the way for banks to help the administration to track foreign money laundering and dangerous terrorist activities. And so here, let me go on with that. Here, Congress was always able to access the government reports from the Treasury Department. But then Joe Biden immediately changed the law when he entered into the White House. Now Congress cannot access the Biden crime family's suspicious activity reports. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is covering for the Biden crime family. That woman is as wicked as day is long. That woman is so wicked.
She is now. She's been over in Ukraine, and she's promising more U.S. money, more U.S. support. What, in her position, is she doing over there in a war zone, promoting promoting the America's support of a war. That's not anywhere near her job title, is it?
No, but here's how wicked that woman is. She was saying how if women, we need women to get back in the workforce. If you're pregnant, kill it and get back to work. This is what she was saying. Okay, instead of taking maternity leave, if you're pregnant, kill it and go back to work. That woman is wicked. She is a Democrat to the bone.
I was just going to say wicked and Democrat kind of synonymous.
Nowadays, you're not kidding.
It'd have to be. I mean, really, to go along with their platform and what they're promoting, what they're doing, if you support it, you would have to be wicked. Scripture said, you know, either doing it or taking pleasure in those that do these things.
You're telling me.
Not quite right, but Romans are.
Romans, the very last verse in Romans 1 is what you're referring to.
Right.
Okay, Trump responds to Democrats. They use the word Democrats here. This is another good article from the Gateway Pundit. Pushing bill to ban him from the Capitol. The Democrats are trying to push a bill to ban President Donald Trump, the legitimate president of this here United States. Donald Trump is still the legitimate president. And anyone and everyone who says he's not is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in him. There you go. And I dare you.
There's nothing these people will not do to stop Trump. So you can tell how much they fear him, how much they hate him for exposing the deep state, the swamp, and starting to try and clear it out. I don't think there's anybody more hated in the world. I don't think people hated some of the dictators in world history as much as these Democrats seem to hate Trump.
They're afraid of him, and there's a reason. And we have that. We have a clip that I would love to play in the program, but unfortunately, there's some foul language in it that we can't use it.
We can't quite get locked
but
up.
We're,
right?
Well, I'm working on taking that foul language out of the clip, and we can do that. We can play it, and then you'll know exactly why they fear Trump and what Trump knows, and this is why they fear him so much. And a lot of it has to do going back with the child trafficking and what we told you. You know, when Trump was in office, we told you that he was working to try to clean this up. And so here, Trump responded to the bill by calling the co-sponsor a lowlife, not respected by anybody, and merely used for entertainment reasons by the fake news media. The bill was introduced by Georgia Rep. Nakima Williams and co-sponsored by California Eric, the traitor, Eric Swalwell, who shacks up with Chinese spies, who is a traitor, who not only should not be in Congress, but he should be in prison. He should be for treason, for high treason against America. That's where Eric Swalwell should be. In addition to Trump, the proposed legislation also seeks to ban Stephen Bannon, Mark Meadows, Dan Scavino, Peter Navarro, Jeffrey Clark, John Eastman, Kenneth Cheeseboro, and Rudy Giuliano from coming to the Capitol. Well, I'm going to tell you, did I say Giuliani?
This kind of thing is just something that, 20, 30 years ago, if somebody tried to say that this would happen, would have just been left off the stage, right?
Right. You know, and that's kind of what Elon Musk said. He says, when people will admit COVID response was a scam, it's coming. It's an interesting thing. Is a COVID bombshell on the way from the Twitter files? Okay, so what is Elon Musk up to? Here, he goes on to say that a COVID bombshell is on the way from the Twitter files. Rapper and popular influencer Zuby asks on Twitter, when will everybody admit that the whole COVID-19 pandemic response was a scam? Well, we've known that from the beginning. We try to tell people. Back in January, Elon Musk said a key researcher on Fauci was traveling to Twitter. And on Wednesday, Twitter CEO Elon Musk appeared to suggest that he had information that would prove the entire COVID pandemic response was a scam. Over the past several months, Musk has released the Twitter files showing widespread government collusion with the tech giant. He also teased upcoming Fauci files, which have been delayed due to a key researcher. Well, Fauci lied to Congress. He lied under oath, gain of function. In other words, the idea is, look, I got enough money, and by the way...
He tried that definition game, that gain of function was really something else, that what he had written wasn't gain of function. They're playing the word game that liberals always do.
Right. But the idea... Look, I've got cover. I can bring a bunch of people down with me. So you people, Biden, Joe Biden, and all of you, Nasty Pelosi, you better get my back, because if I go down, I'll take you with me. And they know that. So
sounds like Hillary Clinton's threat way back when. We talked about Hillary did that, 30 years ago or more?
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing changes, right? When you said Elon Musk, his latest thing out there is civilizational collapse. He's warning about the world government. And he came out and speaks out the world government at the World Government Summit when it happened. He said it could lead to civilization's collapse. And basically he said, we want to avoid creating a civilizational risk by having, frankly, too much cooperation between governments. And if everything's the same and there's a problem, then it could doom humanity as a whole. And he said we want some civilizational diversity so that if something does go wrong, some part of civilization, the whole thing won't collapse. You know, that guy is actually quite smart, Pastor Ernie.
Yep. Are they trying to kill us? Lab-grown meat baked are backed by Bill Gates, has cancer cells, and could cause cancer and other scary health issues. Okay. Another article by the Gateway Pundit. They've really been on this week. Sometimes you have to wonder what the globalists are up to. A bombshell report from Bloomberg. Boy, that would be a bombshell from Bloomberg. Earlier this month,
they've got a story. Bob Unruh from World News Daily has got the same kind of story going. So
revealed that lab-grown meat, strongly supported by Bill Gates, has cancer cells. You are reading this correctly. You are devouring glorified cancer tumors when consuming fake meat. Joe Festa, the author of the piece, revealed that in order for lab-grown meat companies to produce what they cultured meat, they utilize what are called immortalized algae cells, and these cells are fully cancerous. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just think about that. They have to have these cancer cells to make the process happen, to make this lab-grown meat. And one of the guys, National Pulse, came out and said, we could eat malignant chicken tumors by the bucket load. Lab-grown meat's impending cancer problem. yuck. You think about this, growing meat from cells in a lab, but the stuff, there's even more things they have to do. It says these immortalized cells are a staple of medical research. But they are precancerous, and many cases are fully cancerous. But researchers believe, now here's that word, researchers believe that people can't or won't get cancer from them.
Boy.
I like that word believe, don't you? I mean, that sounds so certain, so concrete. We don't believe you'll get cancer from eating this crap. Hi. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Here you go. FDA reveals rare, possibly fatal, neurological disorder is a potential risk. That's right. With the new Pfizer vaccine, people around the globe have suffered serious adverse reactions resulting from the COVID vaccines, especially from the Pfizer shot. Now the Food and Drug Regime, they call it administration, tells us another Pfizer vaccine can cause serious complications in recipients after receiving. So if they're admitting to it, it means it's already out. The news has got out. Okay, after receiving Pfizer's respiratory syncytial virus shot during a clinical trial, two older individuals contracted Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Oh, not good.
No, this was enough for the FDA to flag disease as an important potential risk from the RSV shot, yet Pfizer is still seeking approval for general public use. Yeah, well, their job is to depopulate the planet. We've been telling people that. One of these days, the mainstream media will come out and say, yeah, sure, you know, everybody knows it by now, right? That's the job, and our job is to help along, you know. Here he goes on to say that there was enough for the FDA to flag the disease as an important potential risk from the shot. But according to the Mayo Clinic, Guillain-Barré syndrome is a rare disorder in which your body's immune system attacks your nerves. That's what's been happening with these Pfizer shots. That's, you know, that's been happening for a while. Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
I've found about six more athletes that have died suddenly, and nobody's had a autopsy results published, but one was a 31-year-old baseball star, and everybody around him had been healthy as a horse, and all of a sudden, one day, his girlfriend came over to see him. They were going to go do something, and he's lying there dead on the floor. Heart stopped beating, and like not a symptom, not a ache, pain, nothing. So there have been several out there, I think about six in the past week, that have died. And so we'll probably hear from some autopsies later, maybe, but like most of these, they keep it very hushed, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. You know, they wanted to keep Trump and Navarro and all those people out of Washington, D.C., but what you're not seeing on television is the anti-war protest in D.C., and it's growing, a growing anti-war protest. Conservatives, libertarians, leftists—that means communists—protesters demand no more funding Ukraine. Have you heard one word about that? Here, there's a large crowd. Biden is the Nord Stream bomber. Rage. you know they're holding up all these signs. Yeah.
We did this story where the journalist said it was the. Got a deep Navy diving. They couldn't use special ops, so they went to the Navy and found some deep salvage diver type things and got them to do it. And there was quite a bit of information. The author, remember when we did the story, named all kinds of names, places, dates, units.
Didn't they mention that they were working with Norway on doing that?
Oh, don't remember. Norway said they knew who did it, but never released the information. Hmm. There were three countries that said they had investigated the pipeline and knew who, but they did not release any information.
Hmm.
So I mean, if Russia had done it, they would have released it, but to find out Biden did it, of course they wouldn't release that.
You know, We mentioned this about last week, and not this past weekend, but the weekend before. But we didn't really go into the article, but there was a large national rally, you know, a week ago this past weekend to protest continued funding by the United States of the war in Ukraine. This is another Gateway Pundit article. The event was one of the most politically diverse rallies in recent history. This is the interesting thing. You had conservatives, libertarians, and communists there, and it goes on. The rally speakers came from all political backgrounds, from the likes of the conservative libertarian Ron Paul to Tulsi Gabbard to left-leaning war correspondent Chris Hedges, from the Green presidential candidate Jill Stein, the far-left-leaning anti-war group Code Pink. Oh, my gosh, those women are... Ooh, I ran into a bunch of them in D.C. one time. And also was president.
They're kind of a rude, crude, lewd bunch, aren't they?
You know, they dressed in pink dresses, and I mean these old fashioned, and these they don't shower. They had a horrendous body odor, and we're coming up to a break.
Was it had the hats like female genitalia?
No. Their hats were like the old fashioned hats of the, you know, back in the 1800s and that. Then.
Oh, okay.
They dressed in these pink dresses like regular dresses, but, you know, they came up. A whole group of them came up to where I was speaking, and they had terrible body odor, and it's like maybe remember Hillary went through that stage where she didn't shower. Maybe that's what they do. I don't know. We're coming up to a break. We'll be back right after this.
And now, the end is near. If you're not saved, then you're hurting. It's him that you should fear. And that's the truth, I know for certain. He gave me life that's eternal. He kept me from going astray. He's God, and this I know, He did it His way. Regrets, he's had none, not even one that I can mention. He saved you and I. He brought us through without exemption. He planned each charted course, a guiding light along the pathway. For sure, not more or less, He did it His way. Throughout ancient times, I know it's true, there was never anything that He couldn't do. My faith in Him, never was any doubt. What He said, He carried out. All in all, as I recall, He did His way.
He lived, He suffered and died. But He arose in power and glory. In Him, I now abide. For history is just His story. His word is where life's at. And may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, no, not me. He did it His way.
For what is a man? What has he got? If not his reward, then he has not. A broken heart, he can heal. And in His word, the truth's revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it His way. A broken heart, He can heal. And in His word,
the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way.
Boy, he did it his way. He's doing it his way. And you liberals, you can't stop him. You cannot. And he's told you what he's going to do. And you're in big trouble. And like he says, repent or perish. Repent or perish. You hear that, Joe Biden? You got one chance. And that is to repent or, well, it's a burning lake of fire. Okay, we're going to open the phone.
You hear that, Washington, D.C.?
Yeah. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open. And surprise, Clifford is on the phone.
Yeah, happy Monday. Hi, Cliff. Yeah, the redacted podcast with Clayton Morris is getting pretty good coverage on Brazil and the pipeline this past week. So I referenced that for people that are interested in the redacted podcast. And I just listened to the latest Sergeant Reports podcast. And one tidbit that was interesting, they said some of the rain in Montreal is showing a material from the spill in Ohio. That's 475 miles away.
Hmm.
And
what was it showing?
In the rain itself, it was showing chemicals that they believe is traced to the train wreck.
There was a lot of acid in the air, so yeah,
right.
Acid rain, remember?
Right.
Yeah, they found chemicals on a flags in Kentucky that they think that came from the train derailment, so... I don't know how they can tell that, but they
right,
claim that
right.
they can.
This
yeah.
is an allegation. And then there was a testimony of a woman that's saying about 25% of judges in Arizona, she believes, are getting payoffs from the Mexican cartels. I mean,
you know what? Like there's something to that. There's a lot yeah. to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Well, there's a big court case going on where a researcher and a couple of attorneys are presenting all kinds of documents, 120,000 documents of fraud on real estate fraud and different things that are all tied in with that laundering money from the cartels. And I think it's going to bring in a lot of people down if it ever gets the light of day.
Well, and from Arizona, from the government on down, they're involved. As the Democratic Communist Party, they're just doing what Joe Biden's doing.
Yeah, and then my final quick thing would be Psalm 30, verse 5. How do you see that verse to relate that to the New Testament at all, or Psalm 30, you know, when it talks about the Word, David's pleading the Word?
Well,
Psalm 130,
yeah.
Verse 5.
So 130, verse 5. Okay, let me go over there. Okay.
Well,
Psalm 130, okay. Verse 5.
I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, but in his word do I hope.
Well, let's see. Soul doth wait in his word. In his word do I hope. Well, you know, that word hope is not the same word that we use for hope. You know, like if we use the word hope, that means there's some, like, doubt there, right? Or, you know, we're hoping, but we're not sure. But see, that word there, the way they use it in the Hebrew is assurance. In other words, he's saying, again, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. That word there, that means I'm assured. It's like I'm assured. It's different than the way we use it, okay? But
that makes a big difference in the interpretation.
Yeah, it does. But you see, the thing of it is they're using it the right way. It's us that's not that aren't using that word the right way. But anyhow, this is you know with the Apostle Paul, you know, the blessed hope is the same. It's where you get the blessed assurance. And so that's the word that they used in the Hebrew. Anyhow,
that's more so that's more like you're counting on the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Rather than just it's a Hail Mary pass, that type of thing.
Yep. Well, if you go back and he says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand?" And he's talking about, you know, here we showed this film in the church Sunday, and in the church there were two priests that actually rebuked the apostate bishops, but one of them said in that God loves everybody, and that's not a true statement, because the Bible tells you that God hates those that commit iniquity. Okay, now, but he goes on, he says, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in the word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they which watch for the morning. I say more than they which watch for the morning. For Israel, hope is in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." See, so that verse there, 7, tells you that in verse 5 here where he says, "For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all of the iniquities." And he's talking about true Israel, okay, that God will redeem him. And that's what David was referring to. He had that assurance. He knows that. So does that make sense?
Okay, yeah. So that gives a little bit more of it. So for the praying person, you would have a different approach then. You wouldn't be just like vaguely hoping then.
Right, right.
When I say my hope is in the Lord, it means my assurance is in the Lord. My strength is in his word that is true, and I can count on it.
Yeah. And if anybody in the Bible could say that they had that blessed assurance, it would be King David, because God had given him assurance that about his throne would go on and, of course, would reign forever. And the Lord Jesus will sit on David's throne, okay? And so David was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect by any means. He messed up, but he had absolute assurance. There wasn't any doubt in David's mind. Remember when he lost his son because of his sin, he said, "He can't come to be with me, but I can go to be with him." So he knew where he was going. So, all right, very good.
Encouragement. Okay, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're in the air.
Pastor Sanders, Pastor Joe. Just wanted to let you guys realize something. Pastor Sanders, you've been on the radio for 50 years, and I think you've been on the radio longer than maybe half this country is old.
Yeah.
Pastor Joe, I know you've been there. It's just that's beyond amazing. It really is. The second thing is Donald Trump, I believe they hate him so much because they fear him so much.
They do. They do.
They do, yep. You're right there.
And it's becoming so evident the way Jesus, just in the 33 years, my father was a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. And the thing was, my dad was born on January 14th of 1925. And he told me, he was supposedly born on the day the world was supposed to end. So I was looking at some canned stuff I had, and I got a January 14th of 2025. I figure I won't open it until then. That'll be 100 years old. He's not alive, but I mean, he's been gone a few years, but the real thing I wanted to ask you is Russia and China, Bannon and a few other people are starting to see how we can't quite put Ukraine together. what is really, there's something going on back there, and then they're starting to, you know, slip up, you know, oh, maybe all confidence, but the Wuhan virus might have been in, they're starting to admit, you know, it leaked. No, it didn't leak. It's been, it was a planned bioweapon, but whoever.
Right, we knew that from the beginning. Yep.
Right. What do you think's going on with Russia? I mean, I know someone's got to make a move in chess, and this is becoming a chess game, and Biden is a complete sock puppet, the one that's on 9 o'clock at night. I can't think of his name for a second. About cancer, so, you know.
We call that a senior moment on the radio.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I didn't want to lose my train of thought because they do fear Trump. The more they do, the more he comes at him. But he can swing a golf club at 78 years old. He builds buildings and he puts his name on the top. And he's a perfectionist. If people look at what the liberals are doing, it's like, you know, well, hey, Trump did this, Trump did that. We want you to hate him. You know, it's his fault. And it's not Bush's fault anymore. Now it's Trump's fault. But what do you really think is going on with Russia? I mean, someone has to make a move, but is it Russia that has to make a move? I know it's biblically, you know, but is it Russia has to have some power behind them, somebody behind them besides nuclear war.
Well, if you're looking at, all of the nations, Poland and the other nations that border Russia over there in the, here, they want to make them a part of the United Nations. And if that happens, then that means that there'll be UN troops there and there'll be missile sites. This is why what Russia's paranoid about. They don't want missile sites there in the Ukraine. And, you know, and so it's a matter of Putin looks at it as their survival. But then, of course, you know, there's no good guys as far in that war. There aren't any good. The only good ones are the people, and that's both the Ukrainian people and the Russian people that are being victims of this. You know, you've got, I don't know how many thousand young Russian boys have died in this war, and then in the Ukraine out there, you know, they're drafting young kids, 12, 13 years old, young boys. And so it's Ukraine is about money laundering. The corruption is there. Okay, the military industrial complex, the whole shooting match, and of course, you know that the Russians, along with the Chinese, want world domination. And so, you know, there's no good guys in any of that. And let me tell you, this country has really, we're not the great America anymore. We have one of the most corrupt governments in the entire world right now.
Well, it's basically the two leaders over there, a drag queen comedian versus a former KGB agent that supposedly has autoimmune diseases. When you put those two together, they know each other, and China's just waiting for a move. But Bannon says he can take 90, 100 days, and you can beat China. That's just bringing down the CCP. And, I mean, from what you say and from what they say during the day, everybody is right on the money. And then you listen to MSNBC for 10 minutes. I don't know if people can stomach it, but it's just, if you're really watching now, you know, these people really believe what they're talking about. Except, Joe, what's his name? One of the guys called Morning Schmo, Joe.
Yeah.
Schmo, yeah.
But I call him Morning Jerk, but, you know.
I call him Morning Blow because he's a blowhard.
Well, not when Al Bannon's calling it Morning Meat, though. So.
Okay.
So, God bless you guys. We really appreciate you. I mean, you're right on. And
thanks, Steve. You know, Steve, we got to go because we're up against it. Thanks for calling. Okay. And now it's that time, Joe, that we always come to every night. And the time is this. Here's some questions. You ready? What must you know from the Bible to be 100% sure, Joe? One, you are a sinner and you don't deserve to go to heaven. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And we know that because the Bible says what? In Romans 3:23, all have sinned.
Come short, fall short of the glory of God.
Okay, so this is...
The wages of sin are death, and we're
right.
Sinners.
So this is the Word of God that we're talking about. Is there anything that has as much authority, okay, as the Word of God?
Well, the supreme judge of the ruler of the universe has given us his marching orders and his commandments and laws and statutes. Nothing could be greater than that.
And so now here, he says the only way you can pay, and the Bible teaches, the only way you can pay for your sins is by spending eternity in hell. That's virtually what Scripture says now. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death, Revelation 20:14. But Joe, God gave us an open door, way out of that, didn't he?
He sure did. He sent his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those that are covered by the blood of the Lamb.
Okay, so can we do anything good enough to avoid that, to be...
No. So, can't even come close.
So it's only by the blood of Christ, right?
We can't buy our forgiveness, or we can't... There's nothing we can do except accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and become a born-again believer, a child of the kingdom.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Christ, him alone.
Okay, so you accept that gift, and he tells you, the Lord Jesus tells you what you must do. First, he says, pray to the Father, asking for forgiveness of your sin, and then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. You ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations, right?
Right.
Okay, and if you do that, well, can you always trust God? I mean, we can't even always trust ourselves. We don't often know how we're going to react in some situations. But can we always trust God in every situation?
We can. We are bought and paid for by his blood. So when we become born again, we really become his, not only his children, but we're bought and paid for. We belong to him.
Amen. And then... We're bought and paid for, and one day we'll be redeemed, right?
Well, redeemed by the blood, yes.
So, folks, that's what you do. It's not a mystery. He tells you very clearly. Pray to the Father. Ask for forgiveness. Remember, you must repent. Repent or perish. And God will always, always honor your commitment. And if you do that, you will become a new creature. You will be... The Holy Ghost will come and dwell within you, and you will be on the road to eternal life. You've got God's Word on it, folks. There's nothing that's more sure than the Word of God. There's nothing, nothing that's is more sure than the Word of God. It is absolutely sure. We're out of time. So as we get to this point every night, Joe, when we get here, we start off by saying, ready? Good night. God bless. And always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.